Say, God, thank you, God, for having me here today. I'm telling you, you're going to be the better for it. As soon as you can realize that and receive that and accept that, you will understand that I'm not here by accident nor coincidence, but it's the divine providence of God of why I am here today. Amen. I know somebody invited you, whatever it may be, you're here because he wanted you to be here today. That's where my faith is at. Amen. We have been in a series of messages that haven't necessarily been a series, but we've been talking about faith. Faith has been the common theme that we have been talking about here in the house of the Lord. And we're going to continue in that vein, in that way today, continuing talking about faith. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Romans, amen, Romans chapter 12. And when you get to Romans chapter 12, I want us to get to verse 3. If you need a Bible, there's some Bibles right there. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need a Bible, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. And once you get to Romans chapter 12, we'll begin at verse 1. And we're going to find ourselves in verse 3 is where we're going to primarily be at today. But we're going to look at Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. Of course, this is the Apostle Paul speaking here. Are you there? Amen. Amen. You've been standing for some time. We want to tell folks to stand to the feet for the reading of the Word of God, but y'all been standing for some time, and he's going to be good. Amen. Look here, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. Amen. So we see here that this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He's speaking to the brethren. Say, the brethren. And he says, I speak to you by the mercies of God. You remember a couple of weeks ago that how Paul said, I obtained mercy because I done what I done in ignorance. Amen. God is a merciful God. Amen. He goes on to say, verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So he's writing them, he's writing the church here, he's writing those at Rome, he's writing them, and he's talking to them about practical living, how to walk this life out, how to live a life according to God. Now that you have said, he says, the first thing you do is to present your body as a living sacrifice. He says, now that you give your body as a living sacrifice, the next thing you need to do is renew your mind. Somebody say, renew your mind. That word renew means to restore. It means to go in there and clean that thing out. Amen. To renew it, to restore it. But to go in there to clean it out and to have you say a new way of thinking. I say a new way of thinking. Amen. So after we get saved, he says, present your body as a living sacrifice. Then he says, now, after you have given your life, which is your reasonable act of service or your reasonable act of worship, amen, to God, he said, now give your life as a living sacrifice, amen. And then he says, change your mind that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Now, we've been talking about that how without faith it's impossible to do what? Please God. He said that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. See, our ultimate goal as men and women and children of God is to do what? Please the Heavenly Father. And the Bible tells us without faith it is impossible to please him. And so we see Paul here, the apostle, amen, is speaking here to the church. He goes on to say in verse 3, and this is where we're going to land at today. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me. Now he's saying, I'm saying what I'm saying through the grace. He said, now I've already got mercy, and now here goes some grace. I can only say what I'm saying. He says, through the grace that has been given unto me. And that word grace is the ability. Amen. He says, I'm not doing this in and of my own self. I've been not only been given mercy, but I also have been given grace. And that word grace is not only ability, but it's favor. I've been given favor to say this unto you. And I believe that he's not just talking out of book knowledge. I believe he's talking out of experience. He says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. Somebody say, every man. Every man. Every man. That means every one of us. He says, to every man, amen, among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think what? Soberly, according as God has dealt to what? Every man, the what? Measure of faith. Oh, my God. Now, what I like here about it is we're going to deal with today exercising your faith. Somebody say, exercising my faith. See, faith is personal, and you got to exercise your faith. Now, we did just get here, and I'm going to do, I promise you, a quick drive-by. Amen. I like to do these. I like to rehearse where we've already been, because it helps those of us that have not been here to get on board with where we're at. And those of us that have been here, amen, it gets down on the inside of us. I've always told you that the word got to what? Get in. Not only does it have to get in, but it got to get what? Down, so it can do what? Come back up. Amen. And sometimes the way that word gets in, the Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing what? By the word of God. And so we must continually hear the word of God so that our faith will get built up, and so that we can take hold of these particular things and they begin to come alive in our lives. And so today we're talking about exercising your faith. Now, we've been a couple places. We talked about it takes faith in Jesus was the first message. And we understood that in that message that we learned that Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. This is the way the scripture tells us. It tells us that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. We find that out in the book of Hebrews. We all understand that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. When we also understood that our faith causes us, somebody say, to say something. It causes us to do something, and it causes us to give something. This is what our faith does for it. And if you want to go and get this, it's all out on the internet. I don't have time to get back there, but that's how we started off, that how Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. It takes faith in Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus told us to have faith in God. And that word, to have faith in God, what he was saying was, is to have the God kind of faith. Amen. Have the same faith that God had. And this is the faith that God has. See, I'm getting ready. I've been teaching us in the natural, but today, say, I'm getting ready to move. I'm getting ready to move to the supernatural. I'm telling you here. See, your faith will take you, it will bring from the supernatural into the natural. This is what faith will do. And so we need to exercise our faith. The second message was living by faith. We talked about three types of faith that we found in the book of James. We talked about there was dead faith, did we not? Dead faith is saying we got a whole bunch of talk, but we don't have no walk. Amen. That's a dead type of faith. Then we said we have talked about a demonic faith. And then the third type of faith that we talked about was a dynamic faith. Amen. I'm not going to be able to develop all of that like I did last week. But those are the three types of faith that we can find ourselves in. And ultimately, God wants us to have that dynamic type of faith, or a great type of faith. Amen. How he responded to them. I have not seen such a great faith in all of Israel. And he said that on many different occasions. And then last week we talked about relief from unbelief. Somebody say relief for unbelief. We understood that there was three things that would keep us from operating in faith in God. They're called doubt, fear, and unbelief. We went into the scripture and we seen each one of those. And we understood that doubt and fear are fruits, but unbelief is the root of it. And this is what Jesus Christ said unto them. He says, but this type only comes out by fasting and praying. He won't talk about that type of demon. He was talking about that type of unbelief. Amen. Say, I got to get relief from unbelief if I'm going to exercise my faith. So we come to this place today where the Lord wants to continue to speak unto us, and he wants to take us farther and teach us how to exercise your faith, to exercise your faith. Now that you know who the object of your faith is, you understand that without faith it's impossible to please God. If you want to please the Father, you got to exercise your faith. Somebody say, I desire to exercise my faith. Now, let me say a few things to you. When you desire to exercise your faith, what you're saying is, I desire to bring my future into my present. Oh, my God. I got it. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. So when I say that I'm going to exercise my faith, I'm desiring to bring God's future into my present. Can I get an amen? I don't know about you, but I want God's future that he has for me. I want it when? Now. The Bible says now. That word now is what? Present tense. It's not yesterday. It's not next week. Now is what? Now is what? He says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We said hoped for is what? Future tense. And evidence of things not seen. So faith brings my future into my present. Oh, my God. Somebody go get it. See, this is why the atmosphere got to change in order for you to receive what God is giving today. This is not normal old church. Amen. You're going to get taught something today that will change your atmosphere, that will bring you out of your situation and your circumstances and bring you into the place that God has for you. See, our ultimate goal is not to get what I want. My ultimate goal is to please my Heavenly Father. That's what I want to do. I want to please him. And I found out even in my walking over my time, I've been trying to please myself. And many times trying to please myself may be contrary with trying to please God. Oh, my God. I believe that the eyes of our understanding will be open today as we move forward with him. Now, look here what Paul is saying in verse 3. He says, for I say through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think. Somebody say, not to think. Now, what he's saying is every one of us are going to think. Every one of us are going to think. Matter of fact, the Bible says you will have whatsoever you what think. As a man thinketh, so is what he. As a man thinketh, so is he. That's what I meant to say there. As a man thinketh, so is he. So we all are going to think. Now Paul said, there's a right way to think and there's a wrong way to think. Now, he says, now, what you need to do now, present your body as a living sacrifice. Amen. He says, do that. Then he says, look, be renewed in your what? Mind. And that's in your what? Your thinking. Amen. I like to say, you know, we need to have a checkup from the neck up. Amen. A checkup from the neck up. Amen. Or what I call stinking thinking. Amen. We need to change our thinking if we're going to be able to please our God. Now, look what Paul says here. He says to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You hear that? So first of all, he says now not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think him. Now, this is a caution against pride. This is what he said. He says, don't exhort yourself nor to judge yourself by your own talents, by your wealth, or even your function, your tag, your title, or whatever. He says, but to form a standard of judging ourselves by our Christian character or our attachment to God. Amen? Can I get an amen? What he's saying is, he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Don't think of yourself the way the world thinks of you. don't measure and think of yourself by the title that you have, the education that you have attained, the car that you might drive, or the clothes that you might wear, or wherever you may live at, whatever the world, he says, all of that, he says, love not the world because the love of the Father is not in it. And so if we want to please the Father, we can't have the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Can I get an amen? He says, you love the world, the love of the Father is not on the inside of you. So we all desire to please the Father. And the way we please the Father, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we want to please him. So if we're going to please him, we got to exercise our faith. We must exercise our faith. So he begins to deal with this thing. He says, now don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think of yourself. But listen to how he tells him to think. He says, but to think soberly. Somebody said to think soberly. He's talking about to think soundly, to think sane, and to think right. He's saying, what he's saying is not to overestimate how you think about yourself or to think more than yourself than you ought to hear. But he's saying to think wisely about yourself according to the word of God, according to your character and your attachment unto God himself. He says, so when you look at your life, amen, look at it from the word of God. Don't look at it from a world standard, but look at it according to the ways and the will and the word of God for your life. Amen. Now I know what you're saying here, but Pastor, okay, but the world is what I got to operate and live in. I'm here to tell you that the Bible says that the earth is his and the fullness thereof. Amen. This world belongs to him. He is the one that promote. He is the one that advance. What I'm saying is put your trust in God. There's nothing wrong with education. But what I'm saying to you, you better make sure that you have the revealed word of God. It's called the revelation of knowledge of God. Amen. God wants to reveal something to you. And that which God reveals unto you is that which we live by. Somebody says words that we live by. So you need words to live by, because words are what activate your faith. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Amen. The word of God. So we begin to see this. He says, but to think soberly. He said, now don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but to think soberly of yourself. Think wisely about yourself, not according to this world, but unto your faith, according to your attachment to God, to the things of God. Think soberly and think wise about this. And then this is where the playing ground gets even for everyone. It's right here. Look what he says here. He says in verse 3. He says, not but to think soberly according as God. Somebody say, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now this is interesting. God says that he has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You hear that? He has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Upon your salvation, if you're saved, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again, you got a deposit of faith. Amen. And not only did you get faith, he says God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. What kind of faith did you get? You got a God kind of faith. What you mean a God kind? I got the faith of God on the inside of me. Oh, my. Y'all need it. And what I'm saying to you, this is why when he cursed that fig tree, and I said this earlier, this is why he cursed that fig tree, and they were wondered and astonished about, well, how did he curse that fig tree and it died? It shriveled up right there. They come back the next morning and the thing was shriveled up and dead. And he looked at them and said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. What he was saying, and that's translated in having the God kind of faith. Well, how do we have the God kind of faith? It was given to you. He gave to every man the measure of faith. You know what I'm saying? Well, see, all of us got the same measure. We were all dealt the same measure of faith, the God kind of faith. Amen. Now you got to use what was given unto you. Now check this out. Now, this is the blessing of giving. This is the blessing of giving. See, many times we go get our education. Don't nobody give it to you. You hear that? You go get a job. You hear what I'm saying? You go get all of that. But God said, nah, that ain't how I operate. I give. Because give brings you to a place of humility, of thankfulness. Amen. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? And so God wants you to know that everything predicated on his kingdom is really for you to have faith, for you to believe. Because it's through the grace of God, he gives everything that we have. Amen. See, so when you know someone has given you something, it keeps you humble. I tell you, when somebody gives me something, it blesses me. Amen. I can't even be prideful about it because it was what? Given unto me. Amen. Some of us just need more stuff given to us. See, you can get in pride about how much you give, but the Bible says give because it's going to be what? Given back unto you. Oh God. God wants you to give because your giving keeps you humble. Oh my God. He says give and it should be given back unto you. What? Good measure. Oh my God. Pressed down and what? Shaking together. So what? Men pour into what? Your bosom. What he's saying is as you give, somebody else going to give unto you. When they give unto you, it keeps you humble. It keeps you humble. And so what he's saying is that he says, now, don't y'all think highly of yourself. He says, but I want all of you to think soberly of yourself because God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So all of us got the same measure of faith when we came into the kingdom. Didn't nobody get any more than the other one. We all got the same measure and we got the same kind of faith. It was a God kind of faith. Oh, my God. It was a faith that will bring your future into your present. It's a faith that will bring the supernatural into the natural. It's a faith that will bring heaven into the earth. That's the type of faith that you have. Can I get an amen? Oh, some of you ain't going to realize what you got. See, because you got to exercise this faith that you have. And one of the things, you can't exercise what you don't believe in. You got to believe that you got the God kind of faith. And this is why I've been teaching on faith, because what I'm saying to you, you ain't going to get there from here. Your intellect ain't going to get you there. Your degrees, your before your name, behind your name, wherever you live at, whatever you're doing, is not going to get you where God wants to have you at. Amen. And I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to be in the divine will of God for my life. Can I get an amen on that? Do you want to be in the divine will of God for your life? Do you want to be in the place that he would have you to be, on the job that he would have you to be on? He might not even have you on a job. He might say, it's time for you to pull up out of there. I got a plan for your life. And see, but the only way that you're going to get what God has for you, and we all want to please God, is through faith. And he says, let me tell you something here. I have dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. Again, our goal is to please him. And if we're going to please him, we must please him by our faith. Amen. Now, so we got to learn how to exercise this thing. Now, faith is put into circulation by the exercising of our words. Somebody say, the exercising of my words. Let's say it another way. The exercising of God's words. So what I'm saying is your words got to be his words. So when you declare and speak, you got to speak what God says. Amen? This is what we must do here. The Bible says this way in Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life is in the power of what? The tongue. And they that what love it should do what? Eat the fruit thereof. You hear that? Death and life is in the power of, somebody say, the tongue. It's in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, amen, shall eat the fruit thereof. The tongue allows you to speak, amen. It allows you to say particular types of things. The Bible tells us that the tongue is the meanest member in the body. It's the meanest member in the body. Amen. And James talks to us about the tongue. He talks about that how ships can be turned and that even how horses can put bridles on them. But that tongue cannot be tamed. You hear that? And what I like to teach the church is you can't tame the tongue, but you can train it. Oh, my God. You got to train your mouth to speak what God's word says. Amen. Oh, my God. I like to tell you, see, these teeth are bars. Amen. Say bars. See, I like to tell folks to tune your radio station to KYMS. It's called Keep Your Mouth Shut. Sometimes you got to learn how to put the bars down. Oh, my God. You got to learn how to put the bars down. If you can close your mouth, you can't get it out. Your tongue can move all day long, but if you can just keep those bars closed. Because the minute that it gets out, whether it's positive or negative, once it go out, you can't get it back. You can't get it back. Have you said something about somebody and that thing done welled up somewhere else? And I thought I told them not to tell nobody. Nah, baby, once it go out, it's gone. It's gone, it's gone, it's gone. And so what I'm saying to us is that we must exercise your faith. In order to exercise your faith, you must be particular about what you are saying and what you are speaking, amen? And I'm here to tell you, some of us religious, I'm going to deal with religion, and some of us can shout and do all that stuff, but at the same minute, we can say something negative, and we think we good with God. But now God said, nah, I don't want to hear that negative out of your mouth. You can't one minute say, you know, fresh coming out of here and salt coming over here out of the same mouth. The Bible says a double-minded man or woman, amen, are unstable. Unstable in all of our ways. And so what God wants to do, he's been working on us as a church. I've been talking about us being unified and coming together as one. And I'm telling you, husband and wife, parents and children, all of you together, I'm telling you, if there's a situation going on in your family, if you could just touch and agree according to the word of God, and declare God's word on it, I'm here to tell you, that thing will change. What are you saying? I'm saying exercise your faith concerning your situation. exercising your faith here. This is what I want to encourage you to do today, is to put the word of God in circulation. Faith is to put the circulation, or to exercise God's words, to get them out there, to declare his words unto us. Now, I want to say two words to you, and I'm going to give you an example of this. Somebody said, I can't. Somebody say, I can. Somebody say, I can. Now, those are two different statements, are they not? Now, the word I can't, it activates impossibility. I can't go do that. I can't do that, God. Think about Moses, when God used Moses. He said, Moses, I want you to go speak to Pharaoh. And he told Moses, said, I can't speak. I need someone to do that. Or I can't do this. I can't do that. And God had to deal with him and tell him, look, I created and formed your mouth, son. And so whatever God has for you, you cannot take the mindset of saying that I can't. And you might not be able to do it in and of your own self, but with God, all things are what? Possible. So when you say I can't, it activates impossibility in your life. See, its foundation, the I can't, is rooted in doubt, fear, and unbelief. Those things that I told you that will keep us out of the promises of God for our life, that will keep us out of faith. Fear combats our faith. We said we got to get the doubt out, amen, of our lives. And unbelief, amen, we got to have relief for unbelief if we're going to be able to walk in faith. Then when we walk in faith, we got to exercise the faith that we walk in. I got to exercise this thing. Now, I can activates possibility. You see that? See, I think about this. I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengthens me. See, that's the word of God, and that's the word of God that I can stand on. I can have faith now. My faith, how I exercise my faith, is I say what God's word says about it. Amen? I say that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm declaring the word of God. I'm exercising my faith. Amen? And that's what we got to do. We got to learn how to exercise our faith. This is what we want to do. The Lord, he wants you to get from where you're at to the perfect will for him. He says to prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I got to be renewed in my mind, renewed in my thinking. And when my thinking changes, my talking is going to change. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So whatever is in your heart and your mind are connected together. Whatever is in your heart will eventually come out of your mouth. Oh, my God. What is in your heart will eventually come out of your mouth. I taught a message some time ago, what to do when the squeeze is on. Because when the squeeze get up on your life, what's on the inside is going to come out. So we must deal with the very issues of our heart. The Bible says murderers, all types of things come out of the heart of man. And so our hearts must be made right. Amen. This is why we love the Lord. Not only do we give our heart, but we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all of our strength. And we love our neighbors even as ourselves. See, we got to love him with our whole heart. Because we don't want our hearts to get filthy, because if our hearts get filthy, amen, our mouth going to be filthy. And when your mouth get filthy, you're going to lead and live a filthy life. And I don't know about you. I want to live a life of faith and not filth. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. We going somewhere today. And so we see here that I can activates impossibility, and I can activates possibility. Now, either one of these outlooks are going to conform your mind. You hear what I'm saying? It's going to conform your body and also your spirit. Any one of these particular outlooks, I can or I can't, is going to conform you. It's going to conform your spirit, man. Amen. Your body, amen, and your soul, man. Well, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so you got to make sure that you have words that you live by. Amen. And we must understand how I say again, the how to practice the silence of the lambs. I mean, understanding that there are some things that you might hear. Now, let me say this to you. There's a scripture in the Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing this to my attention, because I just want to make sure we get sound with this thing about speaking, and about we got to learn how to take our thoughts captive. Do you remember when There was a time when Jesus Christ spoke to them. They didn't have anything to eat, to drink, or to put on. He was talking to the disciples. And then he began to talk to them about how, you see how the birds do, that how they toil and all of that. And he says that they don't worry about anything because he takes care. Then he talks about the grass of the field. But then at the end of this is what he says. He says, take no thought saying that I don't have anything to eat, anything to drink. And he says, take no thought. See, you can take the thought, but you can't say it. Oh, my God. What I'm saying is there's some thoughts that will come to your mind that you want to tear somebody apart, but you don't need to say it. Matter of fact, this is how the scripture says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not worldly. But they're what? Mighty through God. To what? The pulling down of what? Strongholds. The casting down of what? Imaginations and every high thing that what? Exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Right? Then it says taking what? Every what? Thought into what? Captivity. You're going to think and you're going to think bad. What you cannot take no thought what? Saying. I ain't talking about no religious stuff here. I'm just saying you got to watch what you saying. The way you exercise your faith is stop saying what you want to say and say what God wants you to say. Oh, my God. I'm going to take the love route on this thing. Amen. Because I'm telling you, you're going to have, the scripture tells us, you're going to have whatsoever you what say. You can trace this out in the scriptures. I ain't going to have anything. Mama ain't having anything. Grandpa ain't having anything. Guess what? You ain't going to have anything. You're not going to have it. You're going to bring into existence the very things that you're saying. This ain't nothing false. This ain't nothing phony. This is the word of God. And so we're talking about how to exercise your faith. You got to exercise your faith here. You got to do this thing. I think about the word of God. Jesus Christ, when he was going up, you remember when he had the Spirit of the Lord on him. He had just come up out of being baptized by John the Baptist. The Spirit of the Lord was up on him. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord led him into what? The wilderness to be what? Tempted of the devil. And you know when they were going up, he says, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. And what did he say? This is what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every what? By every what? Word. By every word. Man shall live by every word that what proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I've always taught y'all guys about the preceding word. The preceding word is the word that you heard at the beginning. But the preceding word must become the engrafted word of God on the inside of you. This is where the scripture tells us in the book of James to lay apart all filthiness, all superfluity of naughtiness, and with meekness humble yourself, amen, amen, that you may receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to do what? Save your soul. See, the word of God is able to save your soul. See, it's the soul, man, that gets us in trouble. Where your mind, your will, and your emotions operate in, it's your soul that needs to be saved. Yeah, you got saved, and I taught this house. I'm going to keep teaching you. When you get saved instantly in your spirit. I get saved, but progressively in my soul. My soul, man, needs to be saved. See, my soul wants to do what it wants to do. My soul wants to be tickled and all of that. My soul got to get saved. And he says, what he's saying is this now. Jesus Christ said that every man, that we should not live by bread alone. He told the devil this, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The preceding word. And then James tells us that preceding word got to become the engrafted word, which is the implanted word. That word got to be sown on the inside of me so that my soul can be saved. I got to get my soul saved. And the way I do this is exercise my faith. Say, exercise your faith. This is what we want to do. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick. That word quick means alive. For the word of God is quick or alive, it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, or spirit and soul and joint and marrows. And it's also the discerner of the heart and the intent of men. You hear about this word of God. This word of God is alive. Somebody say the word is alive. That's what we must understand. See, when you say something, this thing is alive. Have you ever heard somebody to say something and it changed your countenance right away? Huh? I mean, no sooner than they said, no sooner than it got out, it got over you. And it changed your countenance because the word is alive. That's the proof positive that the word of God is alive. It's alive. So we got to take watch over what we say. We're talking about exercising your faith. Exercising your faith. And I want to give you a few reasons why, and I've covered some of these already, but I want to just reassure you why. You may ask, well, why do I need to exercise my faith, Pastor? The first thing is because faith brings your future into your present. This is why you got to exercise it. If you want to have what you continue to have, you just keep saying what you're saying. And you're going to keep having what you have. But what faith does, faith, and again, we have an object of our faith. Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. And we understand that we must please God. This is how I'll keep saying it till it gets down. This is how the Apostle Paul said it. Apostle Paul says that I press towards the mark. And we learn in this house, the mark is what? Please the Father. Somebody say, please the Father. He says, I press towards the mark for the prize. Somebody say, the prize is Jesus. I want to win him. That's how Paul said it over in Philippians. I want to win him. He says, I count all things lost to win him. Are you willing to lose everything to win the one that saved you? Oh, my God. So you can't start operating in faith until you understand who your faith is in. Your faith is either going to be in something or someone, and it must be in someone, and his name is what? Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher of your faith. Look, you thought you had some Thanksgiving meal. You're getting a meal today that would deliver. I'm here to tell you, a meal that will put you in another atmosphere. This is the type of meal that you're receiving today. Somebody say, I want some more. Amen. Hallelujah. These ain't leftovers here. Amen. No. This is a meal. The word of God is a meal that won't run out. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. The Bible says, they that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be what? Filled. You shall be filled. The Bible says, out of the belly shall flow what? The rivers of living water. And God wants this thing to flow up out of you. He wants you, amen, to exercise your faith on a regular basis. So the first reason why I must exercise my faith, because faith brings my future into my present. See, you must understand this. The future is the eternal present postponed. The future is the eternal present postponed. They both exist right now. The future is the eternal, amen, present postponed. What I'm saying is I got to get in faith to bring my eternal present to my present right now. So the eternal present is already, what I'm saying is God already know what he's going to do with your life. He already done it from the very beginning. Before he created you, he had a plan. Look, you were in existence, amen, in eternity. And he put you in the time, amen, to fulfill a plan that he has for your life that's going to glorify him. Somebody say, I'm not here for me. I'm here for him. I'm telling you, if you can get that understanding why you here, you're not, this ain't about you. It's all about him. And he'll bless you all your life when you begin to get the revelation of the understanding of why do I exist here? To please the Father. To please my heavenly Father here. Now, look, the second thing I want to say to you, why must I exercise my faith? Again, to bring the supernatural into the natural. See, through faith, I go in another time zone. Through faith, you go into another time zone. You bring the supernatural into the natural. Yes, you do. This is through faith. You go into eternity and bring it back into time. I know I ain't getting a whole bunch of shout here today. I'm telling you, this is an indication where your faith is at. And it's okay, though. It's okay to be here. This is why he give you a preacher. A preacher come to do what? Preach the word of God and teach you the word of God so that your faith can get built up. And now you can stop moving in the natural and say, nah, God has put me in here so I can bring the supernatural into the natural. Let me show you how he does this. I'm going to show you how he does this now. This is when they said, Jesus, his disciples came and said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. He says, when I pray, I say, our Father, which art in heaven, how will it be thy name? Now, where's the Father at? He up in heaven. He up in eternity where no time exists. He up there chilling. And the Son is on the right side of him. You hear what I'm saying? That's where he at. He said, now, they told Jesus, teach us how to pray. He says, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. So I locate him where he at. He in heaven. And the same one that's in heaven gave me my measure of faith. So where you think the measure of faith was at? Oh, it was in heaven. His faith is supernatural. Oh, my God. It was with him, and he dealt it out unto each one of us when we got saved. Oh, my God. Yeah, you might not get excited about this thing, but I'm dog dare you. I'm so not excited about it because I know it's the truth. Now, he said, now, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, how will it be thy name? Now, what we said, we're glorifying him in heaven. How will it be thy name? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where in the earth as it is what? How you think it's going to get there? Faith. Faith brings it out of eternity. It brings the supernatural into the natural. Oh, my God. If somebody needs to be healed, it's all healing is already there. Well, okay, let me give it to you another way. You remember when Jesus Christ says, who do men say that I am? Some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say you're the prophet Elijah. But he says, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, you know what? Flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but my Father, which is where? In heaven, has revealed this unto you. He says, my Father. And then he says, look at this. He said, now, just because of this, I'm getting ready to give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever you what? Loose on the earth shall be what? Loose in heaven. Whatever you what? Bind on the earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. What I'm saying to you, man, he gave the keys. He gave them some faith. He said, through the revelation of knowing who I am and whose I am, when you know you're on the Father's team, man, you know that you're operating in a God kind of faith. So I need to have faith, not just to bring my future to my present, but I got to have faith to bring the supernatural to the natural. The third thing is, and another way to say it is, I got to have faith to bring heaven into the earth. I got to have faith. Nothing else is going to do. Faith. Faith is going to do it. Say, I got to have faith. Faith is going to do it. We got to. Let me get my glasses here. I got to have my glasses. Amen. You know my example that I give about with our sight. So I need to have these glasses and they help my sight. My eyes, I need my eyes to see. And I talk about how faith is to my believing as sight is to my seeing. You see what I'm saying? My faith helped me to believe that which I cannot see. My sight helps me to see, but my faith helps me to believe that which I cannot see. So my faith, amen, my faith is my belief, my trust and confidence in who God is, who he said he is. That's where my faith is at. And my faith is in the Son that he gave for me. And then the Son said, now, have faith in God. This is how Son said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Me and the Father are one. So the Father gave him, amen, for me to receive him through grace by faith. I've taught you faith picks up everything grace gives you. Everything God gives, everything he gives through the grace of God. It's through his ability, amen, through his favor upon your life. Not because of who you were, what side of the tracks you are, any of that. He done it because he loved you, because of who his Son is, and he wants to redeem you back into him. Yes, the Father wants to spend time with us as his children. And so the way that we exercise our faith, well, the reason why we exercise our faith, again, is, you got those three things? Amen? To bring the what? The future into the present. To bring the supernatural into the natural. And bring heaven into the earth. Amen? Now, I want you to say this to you before we begin to close. I want to say this to you, that Christ operated in faith, and faith is the here and now. Somebody say the here and now. The here and now. I begin to think about this. Every miracle that Jesus Christ done was in the now. He didn't say go nowhere and wait 2 weeks, 10 days. You go look at every miracle that Jesus Christ done. It was now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What you saying, Pastor? This is where our faith has to get to. Our faith has to get to the point of the moment that I said it is the moment that it's going to happen. I'm telling you, that's stretching a whole bunch of us right there. The moment I said it is the moment that it's going to happen. That's faith. Because faith is now, not next week, not next month, not 3 or 4 years. The Bible does say with faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. But my belief system must be just like that, that it happened. Give you a good example of this. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, good. See, because the Holy Spirit can bring back into your remembrance something that will help the people to get it. Because somebody might be saying, oh, what you talking about? You remember when Daniel prayed? I think it's over in Daniel chapter 10, somewhere over in that neighborhood. Daniel prayed. And Daniel was praying for some insight to have oversight. Can I get an amen? The insight to have oversight. Daniel was praying about this thing. And let me tell you what happened. The Bible said Daniel was waiting on this thing, wondering what in the world was going on. And the Bible says that Gabriel, the angel, the messenger, was trying to get this thing. Was it no sooner that he prayed, amen, God broke out and was going to send Gabriel down there. But the Bible says this. The Bible says that the angel said this. The angel said, I was on the way from the day that you sought understanding about it. He said, I was on my way. He said, the very time that you sought understanding about that thing, when I heard you to get down and when you begin to pray, he says, I begin to take off and I was headed that way. But then he said, I was hindered by the king of Persia, the enemy. Amen. It was a demonic force that began to hinder him and to hell him up. He got held up 20 days. But this is what the angel said. This is what Gabriel said. But Michael, my God. Yes, he said, Michael, the archangel, came and did battle on my behalf. Amen. So he can free me up to get this word unto you. What I'm saying, when you release your faith, that thing begins to happen right then. It begins to happen right then. This is why you got to exercise your faith. You got to exercise your faith. You got, what I'm saying is, you got to start believing in the God that you believe in. You got to believe in the God that you've been trusting, amen, and praying for. I'm telling you, you got to believe this thing, and you got to be ready to receive this thing. You got to have an expectation of it. See, walking by faith will put some pep in your step. I'm not talking about faking it till you make it. I'm not talking about no blind faith. I'm not talking about saying that there's something there. Say you got sickness in your body. I'm not trying to tell you to tell yourself that I don't have sickness in my body. That's not faith. You got sickness in your body. No, but I'm going to speak and declare that he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. And by the stripes of Jesus Christ, what? I am healed. I'm not sitting up here being crazy that there's nothing going on in my body. No, but I choose to exercise my faith. I choose to believe the report of my God. I choose to exercise my faith in the God that sits up in the heavens with his son sitting at the right hand. He got me in the earth saying, occupy until I come. Oh my, he said, son, exercise your faith down here because you need to bring heaven need to come into the earth. Look, what's happening out there in them streets? Ain't no social program going to fix it. Ain't no stop violence in Cincinnati. Thank God for all of that. Thank God for folks coming together. But I'm here to tell you, we need the manifest power and presence of God. We need heaven to enter into the earth if this thing going to change. Where is your faith at? Where is your faith at? We got to exercise our faith. Faith is now, church. Faith is now. See, man has placed in the future what God has placed in the present. Man has placed in the future what God desires to happen in the present. See, in the mind of God, the present and the future, they coexist. Think about this. In the mind of God, he sees all things. In his mind, the present and the future, they exist at the same time. The idea of it is, can you exercise your faith, amen, to get your future into your present? Because it's already there. Now, I'm not going to go through it all over again, but we know that the Syrophoenician woman, we know, amen, her daughter had a devil, and she came to God. And came to Jesus, and Jesus told us this thing. He said, "Don't you know that the food this right here belongs unto the children of Israel?" And then she said, "Well, don't you know that the dogs eat from the master's table?" And he told her right then. He says, "Girl, get up." He says, "You go." He says, "Because of your faith." He says, "Your daughter has been healed right then." She brought the what? Future into the present. How about the man? I said this last week. The very man, the centurion soldier, when his servant got sick there, he was sick. He was sick to death, amen. And what did they do? They called him, amen. Jesus, he said, "Now you go tell Jesus. He don't need to come to my house. Tell him just to do what? Speak the word." And the guy was what? He gonna believe in the word in which he spoke. And what happened? It says he was healed in the self same hour that he spoke it. Now, we talked also about how the men, because of their faith, they took their buddy that was all broken up and busted up, tore off the roof, amen, brought it down there. He says because of his friend's faith, amen, he healed them. You see what I'm saying? Faith is a now type of thing. God ain't sitting waiting to do now. He wants to do it now for you. He wants to do it now for you. Now, I'm going to close, and we're going to deal why he ain't doing it now. Because I got to know why. If he is a now God, why ain't it happening now? Yeah, all right. Yeah, let's put some. Yeah, put. Look, Pastor, you got to get me some. You got to put the rubber to the road. You can't tell me this thing's supposed to happen now and it ain't happening in my life now. I got to know why. There's some possibility that it's not happening in my life. So we're going to find out if we're really in faith. And it's okay because he told his disciples, he says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Then he says, "Oh, ye of no faith." And then the man, I like this man. This is what the man said. The man said, when you remember when they couldn't heal his children? When they couldn't heal the kid, this is what he done. Excuse me. Thank you. Amen. I got the towel. When they could not heal the kid, Jesus Christ said, "What I'm going to do with you, perverse generation. You faithless and perverse generation." He told his disciples, he said, "What I'm going to do with you, faithless and perverse generation." So the reason why they could not do it was what? Because they were faithless. They didn't have faith in him. And then he says, "You perverse generation." I said, if you are faithless, you're perverted. You have perverted the ways of God. So he says, "You faithless and perverse generation." He says, "Get out of my way. Bring him into me." And then he asked the man this. See, because the man was standing in proxy for his son. He says, "Do you believe that I can do what I'm getting ready to do? Do you believe I can heal your son?" This is what he said. He says, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." See, what you're saying, Pastor? See, some of us here believe, but we still got some unbelief in us. We got to get that unbelief out. And when there's unbelief, there's doubt and there's fear. We got to get it out. And when you can get that thing out, man, you can get into a rhythm, amen, of believing God. So let me drop these few points on you. These are just things. You need to pick these up in your spirit here. Okay, how do I move in now, faith, Pastor? I'm going to give you these things quick. You got to operate from a place of righteousness. Say, operate from a place of righteousness. Now, what does the scripture tell us about being right? The Bible says that our righteousness is as of what? Filthy rags. Isn't it? The Bible also tells us to seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matter of fact, the Bible says it wasn't because of what Abraham did. Abraham did do something, but it says it was imputed unto his righteousness because Abraham believed. See, but we must operate from a place of righteousness. What you're saying, Pastor, right standing with God. What I'm saying is you cannot operate in a supernatural way if you're living in your flesh. Let's tap somebody next to you and say, "He's not talking about you." No. He's not talking about you. He's not talking about you. This is not the personalized this, but it is the personalized it. You hear what I'm saying? Because you wonder, why is this not working in my life? It says you must operate from a place of righteousness. And you study that out about how do I get right. He is your righteousness. You can't get right in and of your own self. So you must always understand that I never get ahead of God. I got to always operate in his righteousness. What I'm saying is I'm with God and God is with me. And I'm operating out of the righteousness of God in right standing with God. You hear what I'm saying? My heart is right. My life is right. I'm not living one thing, saying another one. I'm living, not contrary, but I line my life up with the things of God. Can I get an amen? The second thing is I must walk by faith and not by sight. I must walk by faith and not by sight. Check this out. I must walk by faith and not by sight if I'm going to do this. Now, I want to say this to you. This is going to be a hard one to grab here, but I want you to receive it. Facts change. Somebody say facts, F-A-C-T-S, facts change. Facts do change. But I'm here to tell you, faith doesn't change. You hear what I'm saying? What I'm saying, faith is connected to the truth. A fact can change in a heartbeat. You can say that the Bengals are winning right now, even though they're not playing right now. You know what I'm saying? They're in San Diego. You can say that the Bengals are winning right now. That's a true fact, but that fact can change. 10 minutes from now, they will not. That's a fact. Now, let me lay something on you. Faith can change facts. Faith can change facts. We're not denying the fact, but faith can change facts. Oh, you chew on that a little bit in your own time here. See, faith can change a fact because faith is a continuous supernatural walk. Faith is supernatural. It can come and it can change a fact, whatever that fact may be. Such and such has cancer. That's a fact. But faith can change that fact. Oh my God. Such and such don't have a job. Maybe that's a fact. But faith can change that fact. What I'm saying is, and facts are emotional. That's something always emotionally hooked up to a fact. And God can change that by faith. Amen. So we must walk by faith and not by sight. The third thing is rise above human reason through the Spirit and the Word of God. What you're saying, Pastor? You got to learn how to walk in the supernatural. The Bible says, those that are led by the Spirit of God are what? The sons of God. And so if we are not just the childish children and we want to mature and walk in the righteousness of God, we must desire, amen, to be sons of God. We said it, the mark is to please God. I want to be like Jesus. I want to win him. I want to be like him. I want to be a son of God. I've always told the church, God did not give a father, amen, because he had a father problem. He gave a son because he had a son problem. He gave a son to gain some sons. And the Bible says that the earth is trembling and moaning and waiting for the manifestation of what? The sons of God. Well, who the sons of God? All of us are the sons of God. And so he wants us to get into our rightful place, amen, and begin not to walk by your sight, but to begin to walk in the supernatural. Look, somebody say, today I'm leaving the natural and stepping into the supernatural by faith. Oh, my God. See, that right there going to just split you up for some family members there. Because what you're saying is, I choose to live by the common fray of the day-to-day, the depending on a daggone handout from somebody. I'm telling you, you got to be through with this thing, man, because this whole world thing is getting ready to break. And wherever you're going to find out, exactly, it's like this. When the water goes out at the beach, amen. See, it's one thing when the water's there, it's high and all types of stuff. But when the tide goes out, oh, you see everything. And I'm telling you, look, if you live wrong for too long, the tide going to go out. And you're going to be exposed, and everybody going to see that you didn't have your faith in a true and a living God. Your faith was really in you, and then now you're crumbling all the pieces. But my favorite nursery rhyme said, Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I said, if you do this thing too long, too wrong, you're going to be like Humpty Dumpty. You're going to fall, and man ain't going to be able to put you back together again. But nobody thought about the king. The king is the only one that can put you back together again. Oh my God. See, if you haven't been broken, broken is the first sign of repentance in your life. Brokenness leads me to repentance. I got to be broken about some things in my life before I begin to change my mind. And if you live long enough, if you live wrong long enough, oh, he gonna break you. He gonna allow you to get broke. Because when you get broke, you're going to say, I'm rich towards God now. God loves you so much that he'll let you break so you can come to the place of having repentance, saying, God, I'm sorry for living the way I'm living, talking the way I'm talking, doing the things that I do. I'm sorry, God. And I'm telling you, he'll let the water come down. He'll let you fall. The Bible says God, those that he loves, he chastises. He spanks, amen. He gets back into order. He is a good, loving, caring, sharing heavenly Father. That's the type of God that we serve. A God that wants to see you get in faith. A God that wants to see you walk in the supernatural. And today, I'm telling you, today, Bread of Life Church, we're leaving the natural, and we're entering in the supernatural. Amen. I want the members of Bread of Life to stand up real quick. The members here that are here, hallelujah. I want you to declare out to me. I want you to say, Pastor, this day we repent. We change our mind about how we have walked in the natural. From this day forward, we're going to have faith in God. We are moving this day forward in faith in the supernatural realm. Goodbye, natural. Goodbye, faithless. Goodbye, doubt, fear, and unbelief. Hello, faithful. Hello, faithful. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. And everybody that's hooked up with me, they got to go with me in the supernatural this day forward in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's bless his name. Oh, let's.